Wednesday night, May 24, 2017, Brother Justin Vargas speaking.
Thank you. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, we're nothing without you, Lord. We're nothing without you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We just confess tonight, Father God, without your presence, Lord, nothing could be accomplished, Lord. Father, we give you glory. We give you honor, Lord. Oh, ribababashiyakai. Hallelujah. Father God, we just pray tonight, Lord, that you would anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Father, we pray tonight, Lord, that you would anoint. Father, you said in your word, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Well, Father God, we pray, Lord, that you gave us two ears to hear. So, Father, we pray tonight, Lord, that we would hear a double portion. Father God, of what you're speaking, Lord, beyond just the words coming out of my mouth tonight. Lord, we pray, Father, that we would hear, Lord, just the emphasis of the Holy Spirit beginning to speak within our heart. Speak, Lord, afresh, we pray, Father God, that even beyond the topic tonight, Lord, things that we're praying and believing for an answer to prayer to would begin to be answered tonight. Father God, that, Lord, whatever nugget, whatever word, whatever thing, we thank you, Lord, that your word is a word. It's a gift that keeps on giving. Now, Father God, even in one verse, Lord God, how there's a mouthful of what the Spirit of God is saying. And Father, we just ask tonight, Lord, that you would anoint our ears to hear. God, would you anoint our ears? And Lord, we also pray, would you anoint our hearts to receive what the Word of God has to say tonight? Father God, we pray, Lord, as Jabez prayed, enlarge my territory. But God, we pray, enlarge the territory of our heart tonight. Enlarge and increase, Father, our faith. Increase, Father God, the measure, Father, you've called us to walk out tonight. And Father God, we pray tonight, Lord, that beyond just information, truly let the Spirit of wisdom and revelation rest upon us, O God, tonight. Rest upon this body in the precious name of Jesus. And his saints say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I think I'm all hooked up. Praise God. I have my Bible here in case my iPad goes out, which I have my Bible and my iPad. But, you know, as I heard one minister say, this could not be the Word of God. Even though I have a few applications on my computer device. But the reason why I would say that is because it has the potential of running out of power. So I have 20% power. I didn't charge it because I figured, if I go beyond 20%, I'm probably going a little too long speaking, so I'm just teasing. Praise the Lord. Well, it's a real privilege and pleasure to be here, to have the opportunity to be able to minister tonight, to teach out of the Word. And I want to thank Pastor Mel for entrusting me with this podium. I don't take it lightly. I believe to be able to have the opportunity to speak the word, whether it's behind a pulpit or whether it's with a coworker at work, we ought to treat the word of God with great integrity because it is the living word of God. Amen. So I'm thankful. I was so excited going through now the next 6 Wednesdays. Let's well, the Lord tarry, unless he comes before then brother, we're just, you know. But understanding the new wineskin. You know, it's amazing. I've had a couple of times where I was able to join Pastor Mel in fellowship, in prayer with Pastor Luke and others, early morning prayer, Wednesday morning. And we were just fellowshipping about church life, about the body growing, about the new wineskin, and just God really began to, if anything, really ignite our heart, because we can't help but be impressed with the fact that that's what the Lord is doing in this day and hour. If not only in Grace Chapel, but within our nation, within the churches all around. And so I think it's very important as we take a look. Tonight I'm just going to focus on a little bit of understanding the new wineskin. And then the next, we're going to kind of elaborate and go a little bit more into different parts, dealing with the wineskin, also dealing with understanding your process. Also, another night we'll deal with having spiritual 2020 vision. And this all comes within the confines of coming into a new wineskin. And so this is going to be really exciting. But as I was preparing tonight, Hosea 10, verse 12, if you would turn there, I felt like really, not only for tonight, but just as we explore about the new wineskin, was really the spirit and the emphasis in which that we'll be being taught and begin to look together in the Word of God. But Hosea 10, verse 12. Praise the Lord. Huh? Oh, yeah. No, I'll... Chapter 10, verse 12 in Hosea. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Hosea 10, 12. I feel like this verse out of many could be the very thrust into every major outpouring, every time of really seeking the face of God in a place of prayer. But this is what the prophet Hosea has to say in verse 12. And he says this, he gives his charge, he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, I love this part, break up your fallow ground. The Amplified says it this way, break up uncultivated ground. Uncultivated ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he would come and rain righteousness upon you. Or again, as the Amplified would put it, until he rains his righteous gift of salvation upon you. How many knows that Jesus never stops saving? You know, we have the fact that Jesus died once and for all to save us from our sins. But as you and I together begin to walk out or work out our salvation, he is still constantly saving us, not from our sin, but from ourselves. The more we begin to seek him, the more we begin to follow after him, the more that we set our gaze upon him, we have no time really to bask in our own self and our carnal nature. But we're so fixated in basking into his nature, into his way, into who he is after his person. And you know, the beautiful thing is I'm so thankful for the presence of God, because without his presence, really, God is not even in the midst. You can't have God without his presence. As like I can't have my sister without her presence being here. But a lot of times we get so fixated on just the presence that we forget to go further into the person by which the presence has come to follow after. Do you follow me? In other words, you can't have a person of Christ without his presence being there, but sometimes we get so fixed on, ooh, I feel his presence, that we forget to interact with the person, even in the place of intercession with him. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. So we're gonna go a little bit deep on that, but that comes in context with understanding of coming into the wineskin. Coming into the wineskin. You know, it's definitely, if you actually turn your Bibles to Mark 2:22, that's where the word, with the new wineskin, Jesus makes mention. So we're going to take a glance at that tonight. And we're going to, 2:22 in Mark, yes. Praise the Lord. As you turn there, this topic, this really a prophetic word, as I've shared before here, was something that God has really birthed within my spirit, even coming here to Grace Chapel. Just to kind of give a little backdrop before we really deal more in the topic of it, and I just want to share this as we're turning in our Bible, but my wife and I, we were pastoring Kingdom Life for a couple of years after I came back from traveling. Pastor Phil was being released to travel through the nation and through the world, and so we kind of switched places as he was an overseer, and as I was coming back, he said, son, he says, get ready to eat carpet. I really need you to come and begin to just get behind the pulpit every Sunday, and God's calling me out. And so we were there for a couple of years, and we were allowing the Lord to prove the work and do things, and some things, adjustments were taking place. Everything that began to cause us to question our understanding as far as the importance of the local church, how it's to be, you know, to be lasting and so on and so forth. And we were there for about 10, 11 years, really. And as we were praying and doing everything and anything that we can do, that we know to do as a local body, we just saw God with our particular ministry closing doors. And we just felt like, wow, well, you know what? Let the Lord build the house, we labor in vain, really. So, you know, we were on the brink of risking to almost become so traditional religious, you know, in just trying to encamp ourselves around an expectation, which was God-given. But we realized, Pastor Mel, that there had to have been a bigger picture. And we realized that if God is building his church, how many knows if he can open the door, he knows how to close the door. And so we felt like, well, who are we to get in the way of God closing the door? And as I began to ponder on this and just meditate upon this, the Lord began to really birth within me about a new wineskin. And really just the understanding of coming into that. And you know, you can have a revelation beforehand, but how many knows that once you're actually walking in a process, and God begins to feed that into you, all of a sudden it becomes more than just information. It really becomes a reality of a revelation that you're walking out. And so that's why you can never despise the process that God has each and every one of us in, not only as a corporate body, but also individually. But that God was birthing my heart, and I had a dream actually about that, exhorting that here at Grace Chapel, and then really by the hand of the Lord, without sharing that with anyone, God opened the door to share that, and even Pastor Mel saying, would you please just share on this? And so I really believe it's more than just a good word. I really believe it is a word from the Lord to further edify and encourage each and every one of us here tonight. And so Mark chapter 2, I'll start in verse 21 actually. Jesus says this, he says, no man also sews a piece of new cloth on an old garment. He says, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent, or the hole, is made much worse. Verse 22, this is where we're focusing on. No man puts a new wine in old bottles. Lest the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred, but new wine must be put into new bottles. Now, a lot of times when we sometimes bring out that scripture about new wine, there's been a lot of times where, I don't know if you probably heard this a lot, but a lot of circles and churches or places I visit where there's such a heavy emphasis of new wine, and rightfully so, because the new wine is what brings about a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God. For every revival that's been marked in history, since the revival that really took place since Christ came into the earth and you had a whole heavenly host show up as the church choir singing Hosanna and, you know, and peace on earth. But all the way through the history where we have seen men and women of God who have pioneered through prayer, through time and history, and we've seen fresh outpourings and mighty moves of God, and as of recent we can mark them in the annals of history as, you know, the Jesus movement and the Azusa Street revival and all these things that took place. And we look back in the past, and what we find in our past is really how God moves so sovereignly, and for some of you here who have actually been part of major moves of God in revivals, how you've seen that and has been enough to become a milestone within your walk with Christ, if not the very beginning steps of your walk with Christ, because you probably got saved during that time, but becomes a very milestone in your walk with Christ that has really been the very fuel that has fueled the fire because of your experience to say, Lord, do it again. Do it again. And we're due for a revival. We're due for a mighty outpouring of God. And so as I was meditating on this and I was thinking about this new wine, I said, my God, every meeting, I said, or just about every church, Sunday, whatever, even when you don't feel like coming to church, there has been one central theme that's been so consistent, and that's always the topic of revival. Always the topic of revival. When I was born in the aftermath of a major outpouring of God that took place in Long Island, New York, and that was in conjunction with the Jesus movement that hit Pennsylvania, and hippies that came to the Lord, and all these things. And so I was afterwards in that, and for me, I could really count on one hand, growing up as a kid, how many times I actually went to a babysitter's house, because majority of my time, I was either sleeping in the church pew, because we had church every day but 2 days a week. And it didn't end at night till like 1 a.m, because people were dancing and hollering. We were a bunch of crazy radical, you know, crazy people. And I was just one of the kids that would just sleep in the church pew because, you know, that wound up being like my second home, really. And so, but that so stirred my heart hearing the story of what my grandparents experienced and what some of you've experienced. That's encouraged my heart to say, Lord, I want to see that in my day and generation. And it wasn't enough that, you know, I always revert back to Jacob where the Bible says, where he had this time where he was wrestling with the angel. And Jacob, he had the blessing of a testimony where his grandfather, the father, Abraham, he followed the Lord. His father, Isaac, followed the Lord. They all had the legged journey. But Jacob was found at a time where he knew of the God of Abraham. He knew of the God of his father, Isaac. But there was a crucial point in Jacob's life where he was contending not for the testimony of his grandfather, not for the testimony of his father, but he was wrestling and saying, Lord, I'm not going to let go until you become my testimony. Until you become the God of my God, the God of Jacob, the one that I can lay hold of. I'm thankful for the lineage I come from. But how many know is that when you give an account before God, it's about you. You're not giving an account about somebody else. And so he was wrestling and he was laying hold of this angel. And the angel said, I got to go because the day breaks. That I'm not letting you go until you bless me. Until you give me a story. Until I can come and walk one-on-one with the God that my grandfather walked with the God that my dad walked with. But that's not enough for me to continue to carry on in the days yet ahead of me, because unlike them, I'm living in a new day. I'm living in a new day. And so that was enough to really cause him to lay hold in the place of prayer. To lay hold in the place of prayer. And for Jacob, that was him now coming. Actually, God says this. He says, your name is different because I'm calling you Israel. I'm calling you Israel. He says, you have wrestled with God. You have overcome. In other words, he says, I'm changing your wineskin. No longer will you be identified in the old, but I have now called you because you apprehended after me. Not just my presence, but you've laid hold of my person. And you've apprehended me. Therefore, you're going to come into a whole new day. Israel. 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 And so that is something that has been so stirred within my heart to experience a major outpouring in this day and hour. And so, you know, but we emphasize, I was thinking about the term revival. You know, the term, it brings about a refreshing. You could trace it back into the book of Acts, where the people, after they heard, you know, the disciples get filled with the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden they're saying, man, I hear these people in the upper room and they're drunk or something. They're crazy. They're crazy. Let me tell you something. Don't ask God for the Holy Spirit unless you're willing to have other people think you're crazy. All right? Because so many times, Pastor Mel, that we want the blessing of the Lord, but at the same token, we're afraid to almost look or completely be stood out among the crowd. When yet there were people that I heard back in the day in these revivals that when they came to the Lord, they knew very well they were going to be different among their peers. They knew very well different. And so today there is a common mindset within convenient Christianity that would argue and say, well, you know, gee, you're a little heavenly minded, but you're no earthly good. And I understand when it talks about being practical and being able to be relatable and being able to come, you know, Jesus came onto man's level so he can be touched. But how many know that Jesus didn't want man to stay at that level, but to come up higher? And so this common mindset, Pastor Mel, of, well, you know, you're a little, keep the Holy Spirit to yourself. You know, I've visited other places, other churches in the area, and they'll acknowledge the Holy Spirit, but very seldom will we express it in the house of God. Very seldom. We got programs. We can go to seminars about it. But don't you dare, because we have some new people come to church, and we don't want them to think we're a lunatic and all. Let me tell you something. That's what we do. I don't go, not that I've really been, but if I went to a Catholic church, I'm not expecting a Holy Ghost Pentecostal service. I'm expecting a dead mass. I go to Walmart, I'm not expecting, you know, the creme of the creme of Macy's or whatever the case may be. Even though it's probably getting up there. But I'm just saying is that when I engage with somebody who is filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit, it's not that I can't talk to them. It's that I am already understanding that I'm not going to really understand them until I come to know the Jesus that they're talking about. And so the thing is that I was thinking about that, and I was like, God, what is that issue? Why is that a prevailing mindset? And I come to realize this. The issue is not, well, you're so heavenly minded, you know, earthly good. The problem that we're dealing with among my generation is that too many people are so earthly minded, they're of no heavenly use. Too earthly minded, too much stuck in an old wineskin that they have no idea that God's calling them into a new place. The Bible says he brings us from glory to glory. Thank God for what God did back then. But if it wasn't for what God did back then, we wouldn't be here needing him for what we need now. And so we can appreciate what God has done. And we can thank God to use that as a testimony in order to believe him for our future. But when I was thinking about the term revival, I was actually thinking about how, you know, we think about the refreshing, and that is the aftermath of a major outpouring of God. Major outpouring of God. But I was thinking about it, and my wife and I, we worked at a gym, and we had to, for our jobs, we had to go through classes for CPR, Pastor Luke. We had to go for CPR. We had to learn to resuscitate. We had to learn that when really rubber meets the road and it is a life and death situation, Pastor Mel, that we had to be equipped and ready to not freak out, but to respond and bring life to what seems like nothing but a dead situation. And what's involved in resuscitating somebody is that there's a pounding on the chest and there's a mouth-to-mouth breathing in. And if they're not responding, you keep doing it, and you keep doing it until 911 comes or the ambulance, whoever you called. But what you're doing is you're constantly trying to bring life into the person that they might be revived and hopefully ultimately be refreshed. And so when God brings about a revival, we can look and say, you know, what? I'm going to a service. Pastor Ben, Brother Ben, and well, you know, we're going to have a revival. Are you? I really hope you're having a revival, because last I checked, sometimes you can't track a revival from 2 hours to 3 hours. When God shows up, he shows up. When he happens, it happens. And then afterwards you realize, brother, I think we just had a revival. But the thing is, in the midst of an outpouring of God, what God does is he's looking to revive people again. And when he does this, he begins to knock on the heart. He begins to breathe his spirit into what was once dead, finally repents his way back to life, and comes to the realization that, my God, I've experienced new life all over again. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not only to be a one-time event, but it's also to be a lifetime, an expression of a continual life expression in God. The Bible says only Jesus had the Spirit without measure, but we have it with measure. That's why when we gather together, Sister Bev comes, we all come and we carry our measures, we experience Jesus in the midst, because the more the measures meet in the pot, the more the increase of His Spirit is in. And that's why He says, you know, we say, you know, when we have a prayer meeting and only two people show up and we get so discouraged, we say, well, you know, the Bible says we're two or more gathered. And, you know, we try to use that to psych each other up. But there's really power in that, because when Jesus says, no. He says, when your measure comes and your measure comes of the Spirit you're carrying, He goes, I'm already there in the midst. Whether two or more. That's why the more people that come, the more that get filled with the Holy Spirit, the more people ought to expect to experience Jesus Christ in the midst of every church gathering. He's the only one that shows up to every meeting about Him. The only one. Never late. Never late. And so I really believe, and I was meditating that, I felt like the Lord just said, you know, I'm answering prayers. There's so many prayers. Lord, we need new wine. Lord, we need new wine. And we sing some old songs to stir up the rivers. And we sing some new songs to inspire the rivers. And we sing all kinds of songs just to find out where we're at, you know. But what I'm saying is that God is saying, I've heard your prayer. But my answer to your prayer for new wine is that I need to make a new wineskin. I need to make a new wineskin. Because you need to be able to handle the new things that I want to pour out from heaven and pour it afresh to you. I'm not talking about things that are completely contrary to the Word of God. Because for every genuine move of God, you ought to be able to trace it back to the Bible, back to the Word of God. And sometimes what we do is we substitute for the lack of His presence and the lack of power with all kinds of programs and all kinds of things. We're trying to think, well, gee, how can I win the loss? Should I preach with my, you know, with jeans on, no jeans on, shirt tucked in, shirt not tucked in? And we get so focused on the minute things that we're forgetting about the wine of His Spirit that brought us to this place to begin with. It's like a man who brought his daughter to see Niagara Falls. And 5-year-old girl, and they went to go watch see Niagara Falls, and like any 5-year-old girl, she saw some puddles at the base of the falls. And she sees some puddles, and, you know, she's playing in this big water puddle, Pastor Mel. And she, this 5-year-old, she's so fixated on this water puddle, and the father says, Sally, come, look at the waterfall. I brought you all the way here, not to look at another puddle, even though it's bigger than what you see at home, but to look at the waterfall, to look at what gave birth to that puddle. And she doesn't even pay any attention to him, because she is so fixed on this puddle. Until finally the father had to pick her up, caused her gaze to go onto the thing that gave birth to that puddle, until that puddle eventually became the last thing on her mind, because she was so enamored by the bigger picture of the waterfall. When you don't lose sight or focus on the picture of God's kingdom, His kingdom really is what gave birth to the small local church that God's called you to. But sometimes we get so fixed and stuck on what's just happening within the local body that we're forgetting to look at the bigger picture and crying out to God's kingdom that's constantly pouring over, constantly working. And when we look at His kingdom, we begin to forget about the problems of who showed up, who didn't show up, all these things. And all we're saying is, Lord, pour out again. Pour out again. So I felt it was, we need to understand, we could revival, but understanding that, Lord, create in me, David says, a new heart. We could likely say, create in me a new wineskin. Create in me this wineskin. And so when Jesus says, he says, listen, you're going to have to need these new wineskins in order to contain what I have. And so it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful understanding. But let me tell you something, and we'll go through it in the next 6 months. I won't share it all now. But, or 6 weeks, sorry. Sorry. I don't know. I promise you, I will not preach a Pharaoh message. I will let God's people go. But but the thing is that when you come into terms of understanding, really it's a message on process. When you want to identify what this new wineskin looks like. The new wineskin, it's not whether we add fog machines on the stage or not. It's not how does the pastor dress or you know, whether am I accepted, whether, you know, listen, you know, you come to church as you are, but guess what? Jesus won't keep you as you are, okay? So you can come. All right, some people say, well, get delivered off drugs and then come to Jesus. No, Jesus says, come as you are and I'll deliver you off those drugs. Come as you are. Because let me tell you something. If you're really praying, get ready for a revival. Revivals in the beginning is not a pretty picture. Because what it involves is the lost people coming with smells, problems, addictions, all these things. But God is looking for a people who are willing to reach out and lay hold and embrace these people into the kingdom of God. Thank God they don't stay that way in every genuine move of God. But so many times we get so fixed in our puddle, I need to dress this way or that way. Now, I'm not talking anything against, you know, having, you know, walking, you know, right how you're supposed to dress and clothes. But I'm just saying is looking beyond that. Not forgetting where you have also come from. I grew up in church. I grew up, you know, hearing about God and all that. I didn't dabble into the world until I got older and did my own thing for a little bit. But there are other people out there who did not grow up in church, who don't know anything about Jesus. In America, we could spend so much time debating the church across the street, how wrong they are in their doctrine, when there's a whole world out there who would have no doctrine, who are waiting to see Jesus pass by through his people. And like that blind man saying, Lord, have mercy on me. But the people who play in their puddles say, you be quiet. You're too loud. You're too radical. What's the matter with you? Don't you know who? And they have this whole crazy idea. And Jesus, because the man cried out louder, he's saying, it's not enough, Jesus, that your presence goes by me. But because your presence went by me, I may be blind. I may not be able to see. But because I've known your presence, I'm going to cry out for your person. Would you have mercy on me? Your presence can't have mercy on me, but your presence can indicate of where the person is so I can have mercy on me. And so it's beginning to say, you know what? Help me, Lord, to not be able to lose my cry in my heart. There was a pastor who I know of. He was at a supermarket, and there was kids screaming and, you know, just carrying on and all that. And He was seeing their situation, and this family is so lost and just deliberately in sin and just crazy stuff. And he was in the supermarket, and out of a righteous function, Pastor Mel, this pastor, he shouted, goes in, and checked out, Jesus! Everybody was quiet. But the man had a cry in his heart because in his community, he's believing for a move of God. And he was sick and tired of seeing people who have not yet come into the goodness of his presence. It was beyond the screaming child. It was beyond all that. It was so that they could come into, he knew the people in his community. And he just cried out because there's been a cry long in his heart. And I want to encourage you guys, don't ever lose the cry within your heart. Don't ever lose the cry within your heart. Don't ever lose the song within your spirit. God created a sparrow with a beautiful song. The moment the sparrow dies, the song dies. And that's when the Creator gets concerned. New wineskin. We're going to indicate through this time about the difference between old wineskin and new wineskin. But really, when it comes into the new wineskin, there are some characteristics to help really help us identify what skin we're in. What skin we're in. You don't have to turn here, but Romans 12:2 says this. He says, be ye transformed. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is good, perfect, and the acceptable will of God. That's the mandate, that our mind would be renewed. And we've heard a lot about how many times a lot of the battles that we go through is because of the thoughts between our two ears. The minds that we dwell in, I call it the gravity effect. But I call it gravity effect because whether you're thinking of bad thoughts or good thoughts, the more you let it resonate within here, spiritually speaking, gravity will pull its way in here. And then you begin to manifest out here. So that's why Jesus says this. He says, take in captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Once it enters in your mind, before you even act it out, take care of it when that seed is sown. Cast it out. And so it's the gravity effect, but Paul says, be transformed. When you're coming into the new wineskin, now we can relate this personally, but I'm going to try to focus a little bit on corporately as well. And your pastor has every right and reason to get up and say, brother, you're wrong. But this is what he says. He says, be renewed. Be renewed. And obviously we all make up a body, but unless we're walking daily in the renewal of God, the renewal of his word, the renewal of spirit, saying, Lord, renew my thoughts, renew my ways. As a body, we'll never enter together into the fruition of that. Ephesians 4:24 says this. He says, and that you put on the new man. The new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true to holiness. And I wrote this, holiness comes about with wholeness. The Bible says, be holy as God is holy. Well, that's going to entail me coming into a place of wholeness, body, mind, and spirit. So if I'm talking and thinking about what does it mean to come into a new wine, let me identify the new wine. The new wine, or the new wineskin really is the kind of spirit you possess. That's what it is. It's not just what you wear in the exterior, though that will be a result of what God's doing on the interior. But the thing is, it's about the kind of spirit you possess. The kind of spirit you possess will totally dictate and determine the things you confess out of your mouth, the ways that you act one to another or to other people, the way that you begin to see things, the way that you begin to perceive things. It all comes into what kind of spirit do we possess. Most of us, we actually, before we got saved, we operate more out of a soulish nature. A soulish nature dealing with, and it's not a bad thing, but God created it, the soulish nature dealing with what can I see? What can I hear? What can I, and all these things in the natural. How do I feel? How do I, and it's totally related to really the premise on how do I feel. Today in this generation, you ask any person just about who's not, doesn't know the Lord, you know, what do you think about politics? What do you think about, you know, abortion? What do you, whatever the case may be, and majority will say, I feel this. I feel that. It's because they are living their life by virtue of how they feel rather than by virtue of what they believe. Here's an example. I go to work every day. I work a full-time job. And guess what? Sometimes I don't feel like going to work. I'm too tired. But regardless of how I feel, when truth is in the equation, if they see I don't show up, I'm risking being fired. I'm risking a consequence I do not want. And so when you're living a life based on the premise of what truth is rather than what feeling is and bringing feeling into subjection to what truth has declared, then you'll be sure to live a life not going to or fro wherever the wind may blow, but staying on target to that which God has declared. Feelings will come and go. Let me say another example. When I got married to my wife, we're only 4 years married, but I still live more of my life single than married. I have yet to experience living married life more than my single life. But when we got married, love was in the air, love's still in the air, got the ring on my finger, but I had to bring my mind into subjection to the truth that I'm a married man and no longer a single man, even though I didn't really feel different. I don't know, I felt single all my life. I mean, I would still sometimes maybe eat at the countertop and not sit down with my wife to have a meal and fellowship with her. And, you know, and the thing was, is that regardless of how I felt, the ring says and the covenant says, I'd be married. when you come to Jesus Christ, Satan will come and say, are you sure you feel saved? You're kind of messing up here. I don't know, but I know one thing. My covenant says I'm saved because I received Jesus. My feelings are going to have to catch up and get into order and alignment with His truth as I'm seeking Him out. So many times that trips up people, whether to know, and they constantly repent, repent, repent. I'm saying, my God, you're in this Pentecostal, you might as well go to the Catholic Mass because that's what they do all the time. Repent, 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 constantly nailing the nails in Jesus' hand. But it's a powerful truth. This comes in the new wineskin. This comes in the new wineskin. Turn with me to Numbers 32. We're going to spend a little time there. Praise the Lord. I want to just focus a little bit on this tail end of a story, just real quick, just actually a result of a story that many of us are familiar with, but I really felt it helps depict about the kind of what the wineskin looks like by virtue of what spirit people possess. Numbers 32, we'll start at verse 1. I'll turn there myself. No, I joke with people. I said, I think Jesus had an iPad in his day. Because he went to the synagogue and he said to the people, hand me the scrolls. And, you know, and everybody was just scrolling their way through Isaiah, you know. Praise the Lord. You see? Jesus beat Pete Apple to it, I'll tell you what. Hallelujah. Numbers 32. Numbers 32. Praise the Lord. I love this passage of Scripture. This is a passage my grandfather here, he is, I believe, well-versed in because it's more than just Scripture. It's become really a reality to him personally, being a man of his age and yet still believing God for promises. And I know not only him, I know many of you here are in the same boat. But I love this, Numbers 32. It says, and this is God, he's speaking. He says, now he's talking about Israel, the children of Israel. He says, now the children of Israel and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, he says, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben and came and spoke to Moses, and to Eleazar the priest, and unto the princes of the congregation, they said this. They said, Ataroth and Dimon and Jazer and Nimrah and Hezbon and Eliah, and he says, and Shebam and Ebo and Beon. He says, even the country, verse 4, which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle. And thy servants have cattle. Verse 5. Wherefore they said, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over the Jordan. Verse 6. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going into the land which the Lord has given them? Thus did your fathers, when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea, to see the land. Verse 9, for when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came out of Egypt, from 20 years old and onward, shall enter to see the land which I swore unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. I love this, verse 12. Except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh and the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord had been consumed. It wasn't enough that Reuben and Gad and half Manasseh, you know, they've acknowledged God. No. They did not fully follow him. Fully. It wasn't enough that they had a mental inclination and acknowledgement for God, but apparently it was enough for them to fully follow after him. You know, they said this. They said, this side of the Jordan is good for our cattle. Prophetically, that's representing flesh. Their flesh, their comfort, their livestock, their wealth, their means. The disciples said to Jesus, Jesus, we forsook all to follow you. He says, none have forsaken all. Neither family, nor wealth, nor all these things. What it takes to follow fully and wholly after Jesus is a daily forsaking over the things that will keep your flesh hindered. And they said, our flesh, our success, our cattle, our things, it's not good on this side of the Jordan. And they were willing, Sister Rosemary, to live the entire life of well that they knew how to have church in the confines of their convenience and comfort, then fully entering into the extended measure of what God has initially intended since the beginning, they escaped bondage. And so what brought about really a severing or a division to the congregation of Israel was not those, Pastor Mel, who decided to pursue on to what God had, but it was those who said, I refuse to fully follow after Jesus. I refuse to fully go the course that God's called our congregation together to come into. And that is what brought division and a church split to the nation of Israel. Not those who pursued, but those who stayed behind. Deliberately. I'm not talking about those who, you know, kind of fallen and really struggling their way. The Bible says a just man in the book of Proverbs, he falls 7 times, but he gets up again. That's called resurrection power. That's what, you know, gee, God, I really question, you know, the same spirit that rose Christ from the grave. Let me tell you something. If you're still getting up, it's like those, when I was a kid, I had one of those punching bags, those air things, you know, the clown, it was weighted on the bottom, and you give that thing a shot, and it just poof, pops back up again. Every time Satan tries to give you a shot, you need to come back up again. That's resurrection power. Death can't keep life down. And so this is what happens. And Jesus says this, and this is so powerful, God says. He says, you know what? They're not going to enter, but Joshua and Caleb. They have fully followed after God. And not only that, they were of a different brand, a different spirit. They were people who refused to live in the wineskin of yesteryears because they were still journeying in the days that God had yet before them. And whatever giants they had to face, whatever new obstacles they had to face, they were willing to face and yet not lose their vigor or stride in order to properly, fully, and wholeheartedly enter into what God said. So they were willing to face it. They're willing to go through. Let me tell you something. Coming into the kingdom of God, coming to salvation, God never promised it would be easy for you, but he guarantees it will be worth it. And by his grace and by his power, he'll carry you all along the way. And so the thing is this, is that brought a split because some refused to come into the new thing that God had and some wanted to live in the old thing that they knew before. You know the natural? Your brain will only take you where you've already been. You got to train your brain, really, in the Word of God, to come into subjection and trust and faith to what God has. That's why the Bible says that, you know, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We don't walk by how we feel. We walk by faith. We just simply trust what God said. And you know what? If we're walking the wrong direction, Jesus is big enough to pull us out of the water, bring us back and say, you know, oh, you have little faith. Okay, Lord, well, I'm going to go this direction because I knew that direction messed me up. And so they stopped. But Joshua and Caleb, this is what I love. You know, when we refer to about experiencing a revival in this generation, You know, some people, in trying to identify new wineskin, I do believe within the church body, it is young and old. Old and young. I don't believe there's a junior Holy Spirit. I don't believe there's a senior Holy Spirit. I believe there's the Holy Spirit. There's no such thing. God doesn't have grandchildren. He doesn't have great-grandchildren. The Bible says David prophesied that we'd be of one generation. One generation. And so, technically, 40 years makes up a generation, but in God's sight, it's the Spirit that makes up the generation. So you had a new generation of Israelites coming into the promised land. God says, you know, I'm cutting the old and bringing in the new. He says, but what I'm bringing in, he didn't say, I need Joshua because he's older and wisdom. And let me tell you something, wisdom has its place. Wisdom needs its place. But let me just say this. He says, no, it's because beyond the color of the hair on his head, there's a spirit he possessed through all these years. That's one thing. One thing that I really appreciate about you, Pastor Mel, is that you allow the Lord to cause you to continue to have a spirit that's still excited about the things of God when it's so easy with someone who has seen a lot that you've seen to become so fickle and just so angry and saying, you know what, forget it. And I'm sure there have been many times where the towel being thrown in was too easy. Too easy. Well, let me just say this, is that God says, he goes, it's the spirit they possess that allows these 85-year-old men to be part of the next move of God because they possess a spirit. Now, they have the benefit of having more experience. They have the benefit of seeing more testimonies of God's goodness. But at the end of the day, and through the thick and thin, they possess the kind of spirit that it takes of a new wineskin in order to come into a new wine, into the new promises, into the things I've ordained since the beginning. It's the spirit we possess. Mm-mm-mm. So we can say, well, in this new wineskin, you know, well, if we have more young people to get a hold of other young people, and I'm not saying we can't reach out to young people because obviously, you know, we need to reach out to young people and all kinds of people. But if we're only fixed on, well, whether or not, gee, you know, Brother Ben, I mean, our youth program's looking a little low. We need to kind of fill that. No. If we're so fixed on just filling up a program and not occupying a certain spirit in the house, Jesus cursed the fig tree. He cursed that fig tree. The fig tree, it looked like it had fruit. It looked apart from the exterior. Actually, Jesus says, man, I'm hungry. I'm going to go get some, eat some fruit. And there could be places and there could be fellowships that might seem more grand. It might be some wonderful. God did genuinely bless them. And some went about it their own fleshy way. And it may look the part. But the real issue is this. Where's the presence? Where's the fruit? Where's the presence? Where is the fruit? Because there's a world out there that are starving. And Jesus said this. If you're hungry and you're thirsty for righteousness, consider yourself blessed. Because blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because if you allow your appetite to continue to get the best of you, eventually you're going to seek you out some righteousness and you're going to be filled. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit. The Spirit. That's what it's all about. So in this dream, real quick, that I had about exhorting about the new wine, in my dream, it was exhorting, and I saw a bunch of young people coming and not receiving Jesus, but laying their life down, being consecrated by Jesus and unto Jesus. Now, whether that happens literally, spiritually, whatever the case may be, I really do believe that God is wanting to bring back the very youthfulness of zeal and of strength and stride. The same spirit that Jesus told that one church, he says, you forsook your first love. Everything that was about your first love. The strength and effort you put in to romance me. The things that you've done and reached out to uphold me and to exhort me. But you've been so kind of busy, stagnant. He says, and you're doing a pretty good job. You're singing the songs. You're doing all that's great. But there's a spirit you're lacking. There's a spirit of first fruit. A spirit that Caleb and Joshua, regardless of being 85 years old or whatever, that they still cultivated. Why? Because they were so in love with God that they followed him and in love with what he had. in love. That's why Paul says, without love, I am nothing. I could do nothing. I'm sorry. I would shrivel up and die. You think that it was something that they, you know, stoned me and left me for dead? Well, the fact is I got up again. Why? Because when God was going back to the city, I'm following after him. Oh, but God, they stoned me. They might do something worse. But no. So you know what? If I die, then I'm that much closer to coming into the permanent new wineskin called glory. I have nothing to lose, but all to gain in Christ. So it's about the spirit that we possess. It's about the spirit that we cultivate. It's about not just being a hearer of the word, but being a doer of the word. We've all growing up, we played the game, Simon Says. We all know that. I don't have to go through the instructions. You know, Simon Says, rub your head, you rub your head. Simon Says, stomp your feet, we all stomp our feet. But why is it in the house of God when Jesus says? When Jesus says. We've memorized what Jesus says, but how often do we do what Jesus says? That we do it. Not enough if my daughter gets older and I say, Liliana, clean your room, and then she comes back, you know, a day or two later, not cleaning her room, but says, hey, Dad, I remembered what you said. You said clean your room. So yeah. So what? God's not just going to judge a head. He's going to judge a heart. He's going to judge the steps you walk out. Better than to obey, than to sacrifice. And so, how often do we simply do? Jesus says, raise disciples. Raise them up. Do we just meditate on it? Or are we actually pursuing him in it? Are we actually saying, Lord, you know what? I may not know every verse in the Bible, but I do know one thing. You're alive in me, and I want to see you alive in them. And I want to talk to them. You know what? They don't need a full 5-point revelation sermon about this, this, and that. And I'm not excusing knowledge. Jesus says, that when the keyhole of knowledge is blocked, it hinders you from entering into the understanding of the kingdom. But let me tell you something. Whether you know a whole plethora of verses, or whether you know one verse, it's the spirit that begins to win hearts, because it's the same spirit of Christ that works through all of us. The same spirit. And so, that's what James says. He says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he says he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately he forgets what manner of man he is. He forgets. We come Sunday, we hear a good word. Wow, praise the Lord, we're blessed. Pastor Mel comes. Hey, where'd you get the word last week? Oh, I don't know. Did you forget? Did you forget? It wasn't about you memorizing the verse. Did the Spirit get in you? Did it get a hold of your mind? Did it get a hold of your heart? Did you talk about it? Did you eat over it? Did you fellowship? Did you talk to the Lord about that word? Did you search the word out yourself? If you do that, you don't have to be scared of Pastor Mel grabbing you when you're not expecting and saying, come up to the stage and tell the whole church what you got out of the sermon last week. He'll do it. He'll do it. Be ready in season, out season. Do your homework. Jesus. That's why in 1 Timothy, Paul says to him, he says to his son, Timothy, he says, take heed, he says, unto yourself and the doctrine, which is sound teaching. And the doctrine goes, continue in them. If you do that, he says, you're going to save both yourself and them that hear you. So continue in these things. Having a word life is what helps cultivate you to become flexible to having a new wineskin. Having a word life. A word life. Not a word moment. Not just a 15-minute devotional, as important as that is. But having a word life. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. The only time the Bible says, actually makes mention of the word success, actually. And we have sermons on success. But the real biblical understanding is when God spoke to Joshua, the man of another spirit. And he says to him, he says, thy ears, meditate upon my word day and night. Give yourself to it. This is right before in Joshua 1, he begins to receive his marching orders. I think it's verse 8. He goes, meditate upon the word day and night. Continue in it, he says, and therefore you'll have good success. He didn't say follow after the money. He didn't say all of that. He said, if you continue my word, you'll become flexible enough through all the ups and downs to persevere. To persevere. So a lack of word life equals a lack of identity. That's what I wrote down. A continuation in word is a continuation in the saving identity that Christ has given to you. A lack of word life. Israel questioned God's word when they said, we stay on this side of the Jordan. Reuben, Gad, half Manasseh. Apparently the word of God, the command of God that he gave through Moses, was not resonant enough to cause them to go over the Jordan. A lack of word life. They forgot who they were. That's why the first thing Moses brings up is not, well, you know, but there's some good trees. No, no, he goes, you're Israel. These are your brethren. He begins to speak identity over them. He begins to refer to their identity and saying, but this is the word. This is the promise of God. And so a lack of word life can enter into the identity of that. And so I thought, the thought came to me, even the tabernacle, the water basin, part of the furniture in the tabernacle of Moses, it had mirrors all over it. The water basin actually represents the word of God. I thought it was water baptism, but it's actually the word of God. Because it had mirrors, and what the priests would do is they would wash themselves and be able to see themselves at every angle through the mirrors all around the basin to make sure that every part of them was clean. When you're coming into the new wineskin, you're allowing the Holy Spirit through the, with the Word of God to say, search me, O God. Search my thoughts. Why is it that I'm not entering into a greater measure of your prayer? What is it that you want to show me? What is it? Lord, is it just for an appointed time, or is there something? And that's the daily life of walking in new wineskin. That's what the language sounds like. And so Jesus told Peter, he's washing his feet. Peter says, no, don't wash my feet. Are you kidding me? And he says, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part in me. And Peter says, not my feet only. Wash the entire thing of me. Wash all of me. Because if I don't let the word wash me, I have no fellowship with him. If the Jesus says, he that keeps my commandments loves me. Loves me. You know, we argue today, well, you know, it's all about the love of God. Yeah, God is his love that gave birth to everything we know. But let me tell you something. You do a word study on what the love of God is. Not only does the love of God save you when you're not looking for him, because he paid the price on Calvary, but Jesus says, if you really want to love me, keep my commandments. Fellowship with me. Keep my word. Walk with me if you really want to love me. Don't just settle for when I pass by you. Too many times people come to the Lord and all they want is God just to come to visit them, but not to abide in them. Jesus doesn't want to become a visitor. He wants to become an inhabitor in your life. He wants your life to be the very address book in the earth of his presence, of his person. So, and that's why Caleb was able to say, he says, you know, give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. He says, I have the same strength as when I was 40 years old. I have the same strength. Now, when I was looked up the word strength, he wasn't just referring to, according to Hebrew, wasn't just referring to his muscles. He probably didn't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger back in his day, or whatever. Jack Lane for, you know, I had to really pull that one out of the hat. But the thing was, but he was saying, if you look it up, it's powerful. The word strength means zeal, vigor, vitality, spirit. He says, the same spirit I possessed when I looked up and I heard Moses giving the word of God, and I received that, the same spirit I allowed to carry me to spy out those giants and all that, me and Josh were bringing back good report while everybody else was bringing about, you know, as Trump would put it, really, really, really fake news. Really fake news. Because the truth of the matter is, when those people saw the giants, immediately the Word of God began to become questionable. And when the Word of God began to be questionable, their identity began to become questionable. That they said, the giants were like grasshoppers. That's how they looked themselves. And you know what the giants were thinking? Man, we saw some big giants that just came into our land and they carried off our grapes. Because they all of a sudden the Word didn't have the residence. When Satan tricked Adam and Eve, well, he tricked Eve. He said, half God said, he got her to question the Word. He didn't make her eat the fruit. He didn't make her say, here, don't eat it and shove it in her mouth. No. He didn't even have that power. They were children of God, clothed in glory. And he says, let's talk a little. Did God really say eat the fruit? The moment they began to question the very Word given of God to them was the moment they allowed entrance for Satan to begin to start questioning their identity. And he says, now that I see you're questioning his Word, let's talk about your identity. The real thing is he's lying. God doesn't want you to eat this fruit because you'll become like him. All of a sudden, now they're obscured. Now they're having an identity crisis. And today, we live, look on the news, there are many people having an identity crisis because they don't know what truth is. They don't know the Word of God. We might laugh and mock people who are transgender, all that. Let me tell you something. They are possessed by the devil. And that is just a result of a sinful life that never came into the new wonders of being born again. So these are people that we need to pray about, God, how can I minister deliverance? Because the same Jesus that died for the world died for them. But as believers, Satan is trying to trip us up in our identity, and that's what becomes the hindrance of us entering into the new wineskin, because we begin to sit in our old wineskin and we identify ourselves by what becomes familiar. By what becomes familiar. Maybe someone's afraid of getting married because she's been so abused and mistrusted by other men, so she goes to what's familiar. The drugs, or whatever the case may be. Same with the man. He's afraid of trusting and giving his love to a woman, so he goes back to the alcohol. Whatever the case may be. It's a question of identity. And for the church body to enter into the new wineskin, there must come a renewal of, Lord, I want to be renewed. I know who you called me to be, but I also know where you called me to go. Help me to walk in the constant renewal of my identity in Christ Jesus. And so many times we identify ourselves to a past move of God. And we say, well, we're of that brand. Well, guess what? You're going to stay with that brand while God is moving in with a new brand. And God's not looking for just an age bracket. He's looking for a spirit. For a spirit. I'll be wrapping up here. Caleb was so much consumed of the spirit that he didn't just have a word of God. He wasn't just self that. He says, I intend not just to have the spirit carry me into a promised land. He says, but when I enter into my mountain, when you look it up, he says, I'm willing to engage warfare with any person when I come in and out of my own inheritance. He's saying, this spirit, I know who I am, and this strength of the zeal in my identity that God has given me by his word, he says, is enough that even when I'm in my land till the day I die, I will come locked and loaded with my shotgun, because you better not touch my land and my property and my inheritance that God has given to me. So he was willing. And in the spiritual realm, you need to be willing to endure coming into the new wineskin of the kind of warfare that God will allow us to engage into. But the good news is there, and fear not, for the battle is his. The victory is his. The battle is his. Some people say, I got saved, and all of a sudden all hell's breaking loose. I say, well, welcome to the war. Ta-da! You just didn't realize it because Satan kept you in the back while he was busy, you know, pulling the strings of your life. But when you decide to go to the forefront and think, what are you doing here? And all of a sudden you stepped into the light. Oh, my God, there's angels. There's hell and bondage. And all. what's going on? And God said, no, just keep walking a little further, and you'll realize I'm already taking care of the victory in your life. Jesus. The wineskin needs oil to stay flexible until it becomes gets changed. A few characteristics, and then we'll be wrapping it up. Old wineskin, you can identify what skin you're in. When we no longer, and I'm talking about more spiritually, no longer become transformable. We no longer become transformable. What do you mean, Justin? Well, I mean is this. When you have an attitude and spirit that says, I've lived long enough, I know all there is to God, and I don't need to know anything else. That idea has been the very premise that has brought about the hindrance for every move of God that happened since the days of Martin Luther and on. I won't get into it for time's sake. Martin Luther, God brought about an emphatic move of God where God revealed to a man back in the 1500s. I've been to the castle. I've been to the place where he nailed his 95 theses. And when he began to translate the Bible into today's Germanic language, without him, they wouldn't have that language. So he translated. He said, my God, here's this monastery monk. He goes, wait a minute. I'm not justified by what a pope does or by works that I do. I'm justified, he says, by faith in one alone, that's Christ Jesus. And so the revelation, that's when we can all tip our hats to Brother Martin Luther. I tell people, I said, no, I'm not Lutheran. I said, but I believe in the same foundational emphasis that they have, that we're justified by faith. But another brand came out from there. And that's where you get the Methodists. They begin to move and meet methodically. And they say, well, we're searching the Bible, and we're justified, but God's revealing we're also sanctified. We'll call this, but guess what some of the Lutherans said? Oh, no, that's hypocrisy. We know everything there is about the Word, and guess what happened? The ones who wanted to pursue forward wound up pursuing forward in the glory of God for that day and hour, but the ones who stayed back, that's what caused the split. And then you had the Methodists. Then you had, Jonathan Edwards, or John Wesley that came out from there. He got kicked out, and, you know, so on and so forth, and we could spend whole nother time on church history. But the thing is, it's the same spirit that says, I know all there is to know. I don't need to know anything else. And that will become the hindrance of you entering into your new wineskin. So you know when you're in an old wineskin, when you no longer become transformable. Transformable. Also know, in exchange for it, you know you're in the new wineskin when you're receiving a renewal of mind. When you say, I didn't really quite see it that way. You know, it's not a question whether or not, you know, all you believed about Jesus was in question. It's just the fact that maybe there's a little puzzle piece, all of a sudden you put it in the right place for the first time of your life. You saw the whole infrastructure. It's all about Jesus and no one else. But that might be a little piece. Another way you know you're an old wineskin is when you become complacent. I'm not talking about if physically you can't move. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritual complacency. A complacency that says, you know what? I've done all that there is to be done. I'm just going to sit and just do nothing. Just do nothing. Kind of people that you could have people that argue where the tithe money goes, and yet they never tithe themselves. When you tithe, then we can talk. Or they argue about, you know, sometimes I could become a secondhand football coach. And I'm on TV, like watching the team. I'm like, man, that coach, what is he doing all that? But guess what? I'm not coaching the team. He's gonna. Who am I to go to him and say, you know, coach, you did this wrong, that one. He's gonna be like, you're not coaching. You're sitting and eating Doritos. What are you doing? Spiritual complacency. Even if you disagree with what the pastor is encouraging the people of God to do, because you honor him in his place or those, just do it. Do it unto the Lord, not unto the pastor. That's all he wants. Do it unto God. Just do it. Whether it works or doesn't work, the thing is this, don't become complacent. That's the issue. I'd rather err in life doing the right thing than err in life doing the wrong thing. Another reason you're in the old wineskin is when you become dried up, burnt out, I'm tired. Now, it doesn't mean that God doesn't give his beloved rest. Thank God for it. Or we'd all be crazy. We probably wouldn't even be here. The Bible says with his disciples that they went apart and they rested. They rested. You think, oh man, it must be so hard. Jesus was nonstop. No, they rested. He was human too. And he probably rested more often for their sake more than his. Because he was a man possessed by another spirit. In reference, when you know your new wineskin, you know that you're walking in the refreshing of spirit. It's beyond whether you feel refreshed. It's when you enter and you linger in his presence that you come out saying, well, you know, I feel a little weight lifted. I feel like everything is okay. It doesn't mean that you have to have every answer in life. That's why the Bible says don't lean on your own understanding. You know, too many times, you know, we're too busy trying to figure out our next steps and we're trying to partake. We spend so much time eating from the fruit of the tree of knowledge that we're forgetting that there's a tree of life. The tree of life that Jesus Christ made available again for all humanity. Refreshing spirit. Another reason you know you're an old wineskin is, well, dried up, slothful, lazy, complacent. The Bible says not to be slothful concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Burned out. Or, here's another one, there's a decrease in faith. We're supposed to be ever increasing. Well, Justin, I don't have the faith like, you know, Irene. I mean, I've just been walking with the Lord. And, you know, God's not asking you to have the faith like her as far as what she's dealing with. God's asking you to go from A to B with where he's at in your life. Be encouraged by other seasoned saints. Be encouraged of the track that they were willing to follow after Jesus. Jesus says to Peter, after he sank in the water, he says, oh, and brings him back, he goes, oh, you have little faith. Well, Peter's looking around and says, I don't see Thomas walking out. I don't see, you know. No, that wasn't the issue. Let's just say, my brother here, you're Jesus. I'm where Peter's at. And Jesus says, Peter, come. He gets the word. So Peter walks in the water. And let's just say it takes, you know, 7 steps to get to you, but he only took 2. Faith is measured by how many steps you're willing to take. And he didn't have to think, well, gee, if I had the faith of Moses to split a Red Sea, he's not splitting a Red Sea. All he needs is enough faith to get from here to there, not to go past him, and not to come short of him, just to go right where he's at. And that's the sovereignty of God. God knows exactly where each and every one of us is at. God may call Pastor Mel to walk a little further, believe in God, but he may be calling you, just came to the Lord, maybe just to walk to church. That's a step. Just to get out of bed and, you know. Sometimes we need to rewalk our faith steps. Inhabiting discouragement. That's how you know you're in the old wineskin. When discouragement becomes the more prevailing voice than rather encouragement of what God says. Sometimes we need to take a break from the news. Or if you don't watch the news, have your Bible and the newspaper hand in hand. God deals with me because sometimes I'm so quick on my Facebook or on CNN, Fox, whatever. I don't really watch CNN, but whatever. To find out, what's Trump up to today? Or what is Obama? Oh, that, you know, whatever. And God's like, why aren't you spending time in my word? How about you read a little bit about somebody who's better than both those guys? Who's called you? Who cares for you? Then you worry about the other stuff. You know that you're in a new wineskin when you become flexible and stretched. That's the hard part. It's the stretching. Jabez had a revelation. He was named Jabez, which his mom named him, and it was not a good name. She's like, man, I bore you with sorrow. You're a sorrow child. That's his own mother. Forget her getting flowers on Mother's Day. You know, she don't even want no flowers from sorrow. Satan's too busy doing that. He brings enough sorrow to your life. But he gets a revelation. In all the 3 or 4 verses that's written about Jabez and later that's written a whole book about the book of Jabez, he says this. He says, God, would you enlarge my territory? He's identifying with an identity. He says, sorrow, limited. All these things I've been named, but God, you, I heard you rename people. I heard about that Jacob. I'm Jabez, and I know you could rename. So God, I'm asking you, when you rename me, can you enlarge my identity? Because there's really nothing to know about who I am. I'm just sorrow, according to Mama. But I know in your eyes, God, you didn't call me to be sorrow. You didn't call me to be discouraged. You didn't call me to be limited. You called me into greater things. So, Lord, enlarge my territory. Well, Jabez, what do you mean enlarge your territory? Jabez says, well, I'm asking God to enlarge my territory so that I have more footsteps to allow faith to begin to walk out in my life. It's not just waiting to say, oh, God, where do you want me to go today? Okay, I'll go there. It's saying, God, where do you want me to go? And where's some more that you want me to go? Because I want to just keep on walking. I want to walk with you wherever you want me to go. Maybe my prayer got answered in times of prayer and fasting. But Lord, I want to spend another hour with you just because I love who you are. I want to touch your heart. I'm not just fasting because I need a promotion on my job or I'm making ends meet or whatever. Yeah, God, you answered that. I think you took care of that. But Lord, I thank you that for the rest of my life, I get to enjoy your heart and I can't wait till eternity. I want to start right now. That's why John is listed as his beloved, because he would lean on the heart of Jesus. You know you're an old wineskin. I'll just give you a couple. We'll deal with some more later. One, you become overly critical and you can't handle change. And you don't have to be older to be in that bracket. I struggle with dealing with change. But in retrospect, you are living in wholeness. You welcome change because you know with God all things are possible. You have more of an optimistic viewpoint. I believe that's how God's nature is, because he makes all things good. Whatever was meant for evil, he turns for good. You ask the Lord, what are you about today? This is all my glory. I have high hopes for today. Today's going to be an excellent day. What? Are you kidding me? Well, Jesus, God, you're about to put your son on the cross. Oh, I know. Isn't it wonderful? The Bible says it pleased God. It pleased you? Oh, yeah, because there's a bigger picture. There's something greater beyond what I could see. Somebody looks like death is, has had its reign, but there's something greater. That's when you know you're walking in a new wineskin. Hallelujah. I want to close with this verse, Habakkuk 2:2. And the Lord answered me. He says, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. As a church body, I want to encourage each and every one of us. If you don't know it, if you guys have records, get a hold of the prophecies over the Grace Chapel. If you consider this place to really be the church home and you say, you know, we're going to persevere together into the goodness of God, I want to encourage you, don't just wait till Pastor Mel or Rosemary, you know, remind you of, oh, God said this. Get a hold of it. Ask them, can I have a copy of prophecies? Well, why? Because I want to pray these prophecies with you. I want to see, where could I fit? What measure can I walk out fulfilling the prophetic word of the Lord? Because guess what? It's not just relying upon the weavers. It's relying upon the people of God. Upon the people of God. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall be renewed in their strength. Sometimes there's waiting coming into a new wineskin. But you know you're in the new wineskin because you receive the renewal of your strength. Even in the waiting. Even in the waiting. Well, God, I'm really waiting for a lot of answer prayer. Let me tell you something. His delays are never his denials. We've got to trust him because he is crafting a new wineskin for us to come into. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we just give you glory tonight. Father God, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord. God, this is just the cap, Father God, of understanding about new wineskin. Lord, we just come and, Father, we pray that, Lord, whatever area you want to deal with in our life, whatever area you want to impart into us, God, Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way. Lord, if there's areas that we're really questioning, maybe believing you in, like the man who said to you, Jesus, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, I believe you can do all things. But God, if there's anything hindering me from fully entering into that which I believe that you can do, deal with it in my life. Work on me, Lord. Father, remember me. Bring me back together. Remember me, O God. Every part, Lord, everything that seems to have been broken, Father God, bring me together in you, Lord. Father, create in me the new wineskin. Create in me the new heart. Father, for Grace Chapel, we pray that we come into this wineskin, Lord. Father, come into the new day. Come into this new hour, Lord. Father God, for our region, for our families, for our friends, for those we don't know, God, that we would come in, Lord, that we would forsake, Lord, the ideas, what became churchanity. And God, come back to the bigger picture of your kingdom, the bigger picture of your will, the bigger picture of your way, O Lord. God, may we be possessed with the Holy Spirit, O Lord. God, bring us into wholeness. Bring us into newness, O God. Lord, change our focus. Change our sight, O God. Lord, if you could open up eyes to the blind, open up my eyes that I might see. Give us born again vision, born again hearing, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, may we leave different than once we came, O God. Father, we pray every meeting, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, every gathering that takes place in this place, O God. Lord, may we always leave different than when we came. Father, may we leave entrenched with your goodness. Lord, changed by your presence. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, may we increase in our word life, in our prayer life, God, in our spirit life, O Lord. Father, we pray, Lord God, bring the awakening. Bring the new wine, O Lord. Make the new wine skins, O Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My God, hallelujah, Lord. God, restore a dance in my step again, O Lord. Oh, God, Father God, may we just live so, Lord, holy unto you, God. You know, I just sense the Spirit of the Lord just kind of reminding and saying, you know, if we can't function, if we can't be, you know, God made us more. He didn't call us to be human doings. He calls us to become human beings, to become. If we can't express the joy of the Lord out of our lives in this house, then God says, what makes us think that we can with all vigor express the joy of the Lord outside of this place? Father God, we pray in this house, in our gatherings. Lord God, may we just yield every faculty of our members, body, soul, and spirit. Father, in whatever way we're able to do, Lord, may we render it unto you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.